Star Trek 57, M23, take two.
It's the It's Got Star Trek podcast.
How long before rejection would set in?
3, maybe 4 days.
Then someone like Jaran Bellar, an unstable personality with violent tendencies, should have rejected a symbiont within a matter of days, yet that didn't happen, did it? According to our information, he was joined to the Dax symbiont for 6 months.
6 months, Doctor? If a man like Jaran Bellar can be joined successfully for that long, how many others can be joined as well? Hundreds? Thousands? Certainly more than the Symbiosis Commission would have us believe. And that is what you've been trying to cover up all along, isn't it? That's why you're willing to let Jadzia die. I'm not interested in exposing your secret, Doctor. All I care about is Jadzia. And I promise you, if she dies, I'll see to it that the entire planet knows why.
Let's play poopy time.
We're playing it.
Let's play poopy time. Let's play poopy time.
Playing poopy time.
All right, I'm about to click. I'm about to
click the poopy button, Patrick.
Okay, I'm gonna go ahead and push
Let's
the button.
Get it started.
Why?
I don't think anyone's.
Why?
No one's gonna hear what was just going on.
Why?
It's on the Patreon.
Yeah. Well, we'll see about that.
Why?
The Wyrm. The Wyrm voice.
We'll listen to it.
Jesse's shushing
own,
me.
The Wyrm voice.
Jesse, why are you shushing me when I'm doing the Wyrm voice? Shushing?
We gotta do the entire.
Why
podcast
are you shushing me? When
I think
I'm,
my teeth just started hissing.
When I'm doing the Wyrm voice.
I don't think I was.
It's
shushing.
Time
Jesse.
For the Wyrm voice.
Well, I'm doing the Wyrm voice.
We're doing an episode about Wyrms.
Jesse. Why are you shushing me when I'm? Why are you shushing me when I'm doing the Wyrm voice?
Next to the Wyrm
voice. Jesse,
hole.
Why are you shushing me when I'm doing the Wyrm voice?
I don't remember.
She had a Wyrm in her belly.
Jesse,
a Wyrm in her belly.
Jesse,
hey Dan.
Why?
Is this the Wyrm voice?
Jesse, why are you shushing me while I'm doing the Wyrm voice?
I don't remember how to do the Wyrm voice. Is this the Wyrm voice?
I got Wyrm. I got Wyrms in my face. I got Wyrms in my face.
Oh no.
Get the worms out of my face!
I don't remember this being part of the
character. Oh my god!
Worms in the face.
There's so
it's
many
worms.
Got too many worms in the face.
Oh no!
I get them. Make them go. All
right.
I don't like all them worms in my face.
Indeed. Hey everybody, how's it going?
It's the It's Got Star Trek.
Yeah, it's the It's Got Star Trek. I'm afraid. I'm sorry to say, folks. I'm sorry to say
you should be afraid.
You are listening to the It's Got Star Trek podcast.
Yes. Can I help you?
You may. It is episode 288 of the of that venerable podcast.
It's getting up there.
Known as IGST by the
Who are you?
It's getting up there.
By the kids. We're ISGT. No, IGST. It's got Star Trek. IGST.
Sometimes don't know why I put up with it.
T. IGST. Okay. So yes, episode 288.
You know who I am.
I know which episode we will be discussing this
week. I know you.
It is the Deep Space Nine episode Equilibrium.
All right.
Up you go.
Oh, okay. That was interesting. So you this is a new thing you've just tried out there where Dan,
I'm going to keep him guessing.
Okay, well, what you did is normally you would play a sound clip immediately after some sort of statement, but this time you said, all right, and then you played a sound clip. Is that going to be a new thing?
It's not that simple.
Okay, so you didn't do it that time, so I guess it's not a new thing.
That is what you've been trying to cover up all along, isn't it?
No cover up. We're very transparent here on the It's Got Star Trek podcast.
That's lovely.
All right, it's gonna
it
be
wasn't that low.
It's gonna be one of those types of evenings.
I resent that implication.
Jesse's in sneezy mode here.
I'm trying to cover it up.
It's okay. Yeah,
we can't sneeze on the podcast.
No, I know you're not.
Can't.
You're not.
Or won't.
I'll try not to.
I know you're not supposed to, but these days I think we can.
That's part of our deal.
We can advertise it as
it's
a sort
shtick.
Of a ASMR. You know, the mukbang, mukbang.
What?
You know, the where you eat
yeah,
the food.
Yeah, mukbang, yeah.
You eat the sloppy, delicious
food. Eat the food, blow your nose.
You know, some people are into that.
Quiet.
All right, Dan.
That's the opposite.
All right, where were we starting?
It's got Star Trek.
All right, so yes,
we
tonight.
We wondered about that, too.
Tonight, we will be discussing a Dax-centric episode, Equilibrium.
Mm-hmm.
Very briefly, I did want to mention that last week we did the first duty from TNG, and perhaps unsurprisingly, the first duty contained the highest number of people saying the word duty ever,
mm-hmm.
which means that it was the largest ever game of duty or no duty.
Which is a success.
A game that Dan has developed and honed over the many years we've done the podcast.
Something that would shake the very foundation of your society.
And it's when people say the word duty, does it sound like they're saying duty or does it sound like they're saying duty?
Duty.
And very popular.
Is this some kind of joke?
Very popular among the fans. However, last week, a bit of controversy because at one point, Dan played a clip in which both Wesley and Nick Locarno say the word duty. And Jesse and I thought that Wesley was saying duty while Nick Locarno was saying duty.
By the way, we kept calling him Nick Locardo.
No, yeah. No, you guys kept both of you.
You did
me.
Too. Yeah.
No, I didn't.
Yeah, you did.
No, I was like, I was, why are you guys calling him
you
Nick
did it
Locardo?
Like five, you did it like three or four times.
All right. Well, we'll listen
back to
it.
I have a lazy way of speaking.
It was a good episode, so I'm happy to listen back to it. It was a fun episode.
But yeah.
But yeah, you thought it was Wesley was also saying duty. And according to the fan response, everyone agrees with Dan and thinks that Jesse and I are crazy.
Yeah, that's
someone's all, not playing fair.
They're all in on it.
Yeah.
I think that you didn't actually think they were saying duty. I think you're just trying to get my goat.
No. I promise you I would never try to get your goat in that fashion.
In that
not in so coarse a fashion.
So you wouldn't
he would be more graceful.
You wouldn't
sabotage
your own like game show like your chance of victory in order to fuck with me. You like would you lose just to fuck with me?
Not in such an unsophisticated fashion.
Okay. Hmm. What the fuck does that even mean?
Which means just simply lying about what
I don't get it.
You know? That wouldn't be fun.
It's going to be a simply elaborate.
Like, but I mean, if it gets me riled up, I think you get some amount of like.
I don't like cheap riles. Jalapeno. I don't like cheap riles. You want an earned riling up, if you catch my meaning, right? Mm-hmm. It's like, why would you cheat at a game of Risk? What's the point of that?
Well,
the point.
Some people
why
have.
Would you do that?
Some people in our history have.
Okay, forget Risk. What if you? Why would you cheat at a game of Magic the Gathering? It's literally what's the point?
The point
is in the playing the game.
Right.
The point is in the sport.
It's funny that some people have done that too.
It's the same thing when it comes to riling you up. It's like I wouldn't want to sit there
enough.
And scheme.
Like,
it would be. It wouldn't be any fun.
You know what I like to do? I like to like take an old printer with a bad ink cartridge and print out like my own Magic cards to the and the cartridge is like. You know, old enough that you can only kind of read half the card.
Yeah.
So you have to explain to the other players what your card does. Yeah. That's the best way to play Magic.
I know. That's really.
Yeah.
That's
this
how you.
This has become a podcast for one person.
That's how people want to keep.
He left me
Magic.
No choice.
All right. Tarek and Elena from Mastodon, Open Pike Night.
Mastodon won!
That's
from something.
Tons of folks really. Jesse and Patrick are crazy. Well, they didn't state that, actually. They weren't so uncouth as to state it outright.
But they were thinking.
Vehement disagreement. I would have to go back and listen to the clips to try to see if I would reassess my judgment. Maybe it was borderline. I think it probably was borderline.
Danny Long clips?
No, they were shorty, warty, Danny Short clips.
Warty, short clips.
Here's the Dax. Dax. Does the worm go in the stomach or does it go in the face? Where's the worm go?
What is this with the face worms? Where is the worm?
It's the face simian
worm. Does the worm go in the stomach or in the face?
This is upsetting either way.
Swimming around in the pool.
They swim in the goopy pool. The electro pool.
We'll get to the electro pool.
The electro pool. They swim around. It's all goopy.
I have a couple questions for you, Dan. The first, which I don't want you to answer yet, but be prepared to answer, is what, if any, Dan features do we have tonight? In other words, the aforementioned duty or no duty, or any that's in orders, or any lists, that sort of thing.
Am I allowed to answer? You told me I can't answer.
Well, hold that for a second, because the other question... Mm. Oh, no, this is another question. Okay, you prepare your answer for that.
It's a little distracting.
I was just going to make a note to the audience that the funny thing about this episode is that this exact thing happened to Dan in real life.
Which thing?
Where there was like the soul of a murderer.
Oh, yeah.
Like from a past life.
Mm-hmm.
And then you had to do a whole thing reconcile because it was freaking you the fuck out.
I had to go on an expositional journey to figure all of it out.
And then you had to hug the murderer. We'll talk about that later. Right. All right. Are there any lists, duty or no duties, that's in orders, or other miscellaneous Dan activities?
Well, at the very last minute, I produced what was originally not a list, and I added numbers to it.
Okay. And before it was a list, what was it? Just sort of a small collection?
It was a summary of points.
Ah.
Which is not quite a list somehow.
But was it a bulleted list of... summarizing some points?
No, it was kind of like summary of a progression. It's like a progression, a summary of a progression.
Okay.
I know, it sounds like a list. But it wasn't...
But you said it became a list.
It became a list. I think that's why it became a list, because it was already on the road to being a list.
Okay.
But it wasn't a list. So what I'm trying to say is that it's not perfect... It wasn't intended to be a list, so it's not perfectly formulated to be a list, and it might be a little janky as a list.
Okay,
but it's still I added the numbers last second, and it's just
I named it.
It's called Dan's minimally edited list that didn't start out as a list with numbers and title haphazardly added at the last minute.
Okay,
that's now, the list.
This opens up a lot of questions.
I'm worried about you.
No, I'm getting it. I'm getting what Dan's saying. I think that there's a little lack of context that will probably be resolved once we hear this list, for lack of a better term.
But I think it's time we found out.
It does
more
make me realize that we've never had a proper discussion about your criteria for what makes a list versus some other group of different points.
Well, often
different items.
Often lists.
Bulleted list.
I don't usually go into it intending to make a list. What I do is I take notes and I start to see a theme among certain notes.
It's organic.
As throughout the episode, and then what I'll often do is go back and I'll cut and paste and edit and modify them down to make them list friendly. This one I didn't do this. This one I just straight up added numbers.
Sounds like
spots.
A perfectly reasonable and organic process.
Yes. Now, here's the thing. Is I did that with this list because I thought, I was like, oh no, I didn't have any lists this week. And I know I don't need a list every week. I know that.
I don't need a list every week.
But I did.
Come on.
But I did see these and I was like, I could probably make that a list. But here's the problem. I looked down and I actually did have a prepared list already called Weird Dax.
Seems like.
Weird Dax.
Yeah.
All right. So,
I don't know. We don't have to. Once again, if you don't want to do them, it's fine.
No, you've got two lists.
I've got two lists.
And what was the one of them called? The one that wasn't a list and then became a list?
Dan's minimally edited list that didn't start out as a list with numbers and title haphazardly added at the last minute.
Yeah. It makes me think, it's not as pithy, but it makes me think about that movie, you know, The Englishman Who Went Up a Hill and Came Down a Mountain. You know that movie? You heard of that movie?
Are you talking about that movie, Sisyphus guy who's pushing that rock?
No. This is not a Sisyphean movie of some sort.
But what if it did?
Don't worry about it.
It's about whales, isn't it? It's a
clever little independent film from way back when. People can enjoy it. If they like.
Probably quite old at this point.
I think it is quite, as are we.
Yes.
Indeed.
We've lived
quite
many, many
time
years.
Just keeps marching on. Mm-hmm. All right, so
get your hands off of me.
Got a couple lists. No duty or no duties.
No duty duties.
All right,
this
well, it's good for us to take a break this week, given the sheer amount of duty or no duties last week.
There was a big stinking pile of duties last week,
and the resulting controversy
or no duties
or controversy.
Controversy,
indeed.
Controversy. Controversy. Controversan.
Okay.
Controversan.
Well, don't say Controversan.
Controversan.
No, no, don't say that.
Why can't I say
Bunnicula.
It? Can I say it if I do it in the wine voice?
Can you do a Cisco cooking? Cooking a souffle in the in their warm voice.
The secret of a good souffle is consistency.
Indeed it is.
The secret of a good souffle is consistency when you're cooking up a symbiont worm.
Oh no, that's horrifying.
Cook the symbiont worm in the souffle.
So
and
this,
eat it.
This is a very charming
in the worm voice.
This is a very charming charming opening scene here, illustrating Sisko's capacity for and passion for cooking.
Yes.
And the people flitting around him, socializing, having fun. It's his third season, early third season. It's exciting. This is exciting stuff going on here. They're having a good time.
Odo's like all awkwardly stirring that.
I think this is like probably the silliest. Yeah, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No.
Odo, this is probably the silly. It was on continuing what you were saying. Except I didn't wait for you to finish. This is
just he's nodding his head. He's like, I know you didn't wait. Yeah,
I just got so excited.
I got very excited, Jesse.
I think this is the silliest I've ever seen Odo. Yeah, when he was stirring that fucking pot, he was all like hunched over and into it, and like, you know, he was like
he was moving the bowl like around the spoon.
Right, right. He and
because he's an alien.
I know, right.
Yeah, first he does it first by moving the bowl. Then he does this weird like swaying dance, and then at the end he's all hunched over, like doing this weird concentrating on it. Like
well, and that's because Kira said he looked cute, and so he redoubled his efforts at stirring.
Oh, I just think you look so cute.
And then he starts stirring all fast.
Yeah. That means that's sexy. When he stirs fast, it means it's sexy.
Well, I didn't take it like that. I just thought he was trying to demonstrate his physical prowess.
No, because he did it faster.
He was like, yeah.
He was like, you're doing it slow.
He's like, yeah, look, I'm going to do a good job.
Yeah, I'm doing a good job.
You think it's cute if I do it like this? It's going to be even cuter. I'm doing it even faster. Oh, my God.
I don't eat food.
Okay, so here's the thing. Here's what
I hope I'm not boring you.
What that scene reminded me of Odo all looming over Sisko's shoulder, like looking at it. I was like, that reminds me of like when I'm cooking eggs and Jesse's all like looking over my shoulder. And
he's,
like,
he's going,
Jesse does not like eggs.
That's what Natalie said.
Yeah, So like
Natalie said what?
That it's like when I'm looming over somebody in the kitchen.
And you're going, and you go like this, you go,
It's like, what'd you do?
So Jesse is not a fan of eggs, but he enjoys the process of watching people cook and sometimes even watching people enjoy those eggs.
I see.
It's an interesting visual.
Well, indeed it is.
Hey, you can hear Odo slurping in this.
I see.
Isn't that kind of weird?
That's not
end?
Him slurping, that's the
well,
mixing.
Yeah, it's slurping the bowl.
Okay. It's just he got my hopes up.
No,
I thought it was Odo being all like,
he got some of his changeling juice in the bowl, and he was actually stirring his changeling juice around.
You know, that would
it was
that
his
would be something
he was
I'd
using
be,
his bucket.
I'd he be was, concerned about.
He got his bucket.
Yeah, the bucket.
He got the worm juice.
He's gonna stir up his bucket.
Stir up the worm juice in his bucket.
The worm bucket.
that voice hurts my throat.
Yeah, I know. That's the problem with the worm.
It tickles
voice.
My throat.
It can be very demanding.
Indeed, it can.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing from this opening was the mention of beets.
I hope you like beets.
I love them.
Yeah, what the fuck was that?
I love just the combination of those, that him talking and then hers.
I hope you like beets.
I love them.
Right. I don't know.
She wasn't taking any of his shit.
I hope you like beets.
I love them.
Like, fuck off.
I hope you like beets.
I love them.
I hope you like beets.
I love them.
Dan likes beets.
Did you consider that a beet? Like in your color
coding?
Those are
beets.
That was one of those jokes.
Dan color codes his sound clips.
There had to be something more.
He color coded it beet red.
We won't get into the details of how that color coded.
There had to be something more.
I hope you like beets.
There had to be something more.
I hope you like beets.
There had to be something more.
I hope you like beets.
There had to be something more.
I hope you like beets.
I love them.
Indeed you do.
Those are beets.
What do you guys think about beets? I like beets.
Like what kind of beets?
Well, I agree with Cisco. They got to be prepared.
Oh, you mean food beets?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Their beets are intense. You got to cook them.
Beets are a very misunderstood vegetable.
You have to have them nice and soft.
I agree with. I like a beet salad.
I love beets in most forms.
Do you some stew that's like got beets, like a borscht?
Borscht is good. Right. Yeah, borscht is good. Yeah. I like borscht. Yeah.
I got nothing wrong with beets.
I like just regular old cooked beets. A restaurant I used to work at had like those multicolored beets, like the purple and yellow and all those things.
I know more like the dark purple, reddish
beets. The problem is like, I think like if someone isn't educated beforehand, the first time they eat beets is a terrifying experience several hours later.
Oh yeah, when pooping and peeing.
Yeah, because if nobody tells you what's gonna happen, it's like, oh my gosh, something's wrong with my kidneys or my colon or whatever.
I'm bleeding from my anus.
Okay, well there you go. I guess we're not tiptoeing around here.
Absolutely not.
You would hope, and we should all promote and continue to promote and
promiscuously promote.
Just regular.
My plosives are promiscuously promoting just, my proper. My plosives are promiscuously promoting my proper papers.
Oh my god.
My plosives are promiscuously promoting my proper papers. My plosives are promiscuously promoting my proper papers.
What do you mean your proper papers?
My
passport. Jesse, do not encourage this motherfucker.
My plosives are promiscuously.
Jeez.
My plosives are promiscuously promoting my proper papers. Okay. Okay, I got it.
All right, you got it.
We can move.
We can move. Hurry up, let's move on before I do it again.
Okay. Well, I was just trying to say.
You can't help himself.
You know, it's like with asparagus and beets and a few other things, we need to encourage.
I feel like an idiot.
Encourage mechanisms to pass that lore along
asparagus
to the young
Lorelei?
No, the lore along. Not the Lorelei signal. Oh. The pass the lore along to the young folks.
Lore along.
So that they know if they eat asparagus.
Not the
or,
data.
Or eat beets or a few other things, crazy shit's going to happen.
Well, asparagus is less alarming. Beets are much more alarming.
Well, beets are alarming because of the blood factor, but asparagus, I don't know.
It just smells weird.
Yeah, but it smells really fucking weird.
I don't know. You
the
know,
first time.
And it makes your pee smell.
I'm like so much more concerned about like discolored stool than I am like some stinky pee.
Well, unreasonable about that position,
Dan. I mean, have you ever like been in an old outhouse? Like it stinks like nasty old pee in there,
among
other things.
Gross.
Or have you ever like not drank enough water for days or something and then you pee and it stinks like old nasty pee?
Not
like,
me.
Like organ meat or something?
Organ
like,
meat.
You know?
You gotta write an autobiography. And tell tale about all these adventures you have.
I'd like that.
As would the world. Mm-hmm. All right, where were we? Beets? Yeah, the beets. I enjoyed the reference to beets and Cisco.
I love them.
Almost menacingly scooping out some beets and being like,
I love them.
Yeah. And whenever Cisco cooks, I want to eat some. It just sounds so good with all the clanging and banging.
But his
and stuff.
Dad is probably the better cook.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure he is. He devotes his life to it. And Cisco, it's more of a hobby.
Like with okra and stuff.
So like if you're just chilling, you know, with your commander, a higher ranking officer, and you're all just hanging out and like having dinner together, like can you get in trouble? Like what's the law rule about chain of command? If
you just started like snorting some coke in front of your boss,
okay, not quite that.
It's like rough duty,
duty or no duty.
Oh shit!
Oh shit! Duty or no duty. No, my question is if you are gathered together in your. I was trying not to bang on the table, sorry. Okay. If you are gathered together in your uniform, hanging out with all your fellow officers, can you...
They weren't in uniform. They were in
uniform. They were in uniform.
I think, weren't they?
I don't remember them being in
uniform. I think they weren't in uniform.
I think they were all in there.
I'm pretty sure they were in uniform.
Clothing. They were all hanging out.
Kira was in casual clothing.
Maybe
Dax
she was, but Dax,
casual clothing.
No, Dax was in... Dax was all decked out.
I don't think so.
I don't believe
okay,
so.
Well, okay.
Everybody was relax.
Okay, fine. Let's just say you are in your uniform then.
Well,
it might not even make a difference if you're in your uniform. Okay,
Jesse, he's got a hypothetical.
I'm gonna finish. I'm gonna let him finish.
Let's hear the hypothetical.
Yes.
If you're hanging out just relaxo time with all your fellow officers, sure. Does the chain of command still apply? Can you get in trouble if you're like, ah, Cisco, you old bastard, like, you know, like, you know, does that
I was thinking more along the lines of if Cisco was like, could you stir these fucking mashed potatoes? If you're just like, no, I'm not going to do that.
Yeah.
It's like, no, you have to, otherwise you're going to be thrown in the brig.
Yeah, see, right. That would be a little more unreasonable, but I'm just wondering if there's like, I don't know, not knowing much about chain of command in military, I don't know how much you have to like adhere to the chain of command.
Generally fraternizing with subordinate officers is discouraged.
That's kind of what I was thinking.
Starfleet.
But not Starfleet.
Yeah, and I think that's why I had the question in my mind, is because I'm not used to seeing that relationship in such a way.
And they do that in, is it like Strange New Worlds with Pike has everybody in his quarters and he's cooking them up.
Jesus!
Patrick just fucking dropped some shit.
No, a ghost knocked a cup off the wall. It was my Lower Decks cup. Do you think there's going to be some crazy news about Lower Decks? Because this is my Star Trek Lower Decks cup that we got.
This motherfucker.
Dan, I forgot to tell folks, Dan has a new project. He's doing a side cast.
Patrick's such a shit. Where he
got his own little tape recorder, and he's going to periodically be recording notes during the main podcast.
He sort of talks shit about people.
Yeah, like he described it as being like a side podcast that we could put on Patreon or something. Oh, but God. Thus far, mostly it's him either saying that I'm a piece of shit or that Jesse's a piece of shit.
Mostly it was me.
Yeah, we'll see if he expands his topics of conversation at some point. Okay, no, the Lower Decks cup that I think, Dan, I think...
You said tape recorder. You mean mini SD card recorder.
It's a tape recorder.
It's not on tape. It's on a mini SD card.
It's a tape recorder.
You're a tape recorder.
I am not a tape recorder. That is a tape recorder. Yeah, Dan got a...
That is what you've been trying to cover up all along, isn't it?
Dan got a little one of their little handheld recorders because he saw Bodkin on
Netflix. My God. Patrick is on this kick now where he's like trying to offend me with something
I'm not
that's ridiculous and silly.
I saw a show.
You were doing that because
you
saw it on an obscure Netflix show.
It's not that obscure. I don't think Bodkin is that obscure.
I think it's kind of obscure. I bet it doesn't get a second season.
I hope it does. It may
I
not.
I hope it does.
But it was charming.
I liked it.
And it was about a podcaster and he had that little doodad that
he probably didn't. Like, you have the same fucking thing except yours is bigger.
No, I have a Tascam DR40 and a Tascam DR40S.
But I'm saying what I'm we all have the same style of thing. Mine is like the cheapest version. You have a nicer, more expensive version.
I got two of them.
And so, yeah, you have two of them. And I'm saying he had the same, his shit was in the same family as all of our shits. And I'm saying his wasn't tiny and cheap like mine.
It was the same kind of
shit. His was a little bigger. His was bigger. So saying that I'm using it because of Bodkin, I might as well say that you use it because of Bodkin.
I don't think it was bigger. I think it was the identical one. But we'll
Bodkin. Yeah,
fuck
you.
We'll
I want you to. Well, you're just saying that. You're just saying that.
I'm just saying what I think.
You're just saying that.
Well, we'll look it up. We'll look it up offline. Maybe we'll do that during the break. We'll look up if the Bodkin Netflix behind the scenes documentary shows which of the little doodads they had there. One of those.
Sometimes. I don't know why I put up with it.
Creepy tunes. Creepy tunes. Well, I guess the tune is not that creepy, but...
It's
made more creepy because of the context.
It's like a... It's like a lame TV show theme.
Oh, yeah.
Or like some kind of music from a Chinese restaurant or something.
Yeah, I could
kind
see
of
that.
Music.
It's like some, yeah, it's like some like lead-out music for...
Future music.
Human music.
Oh, this one is not. This one's kind of cool. Oh, this is like mixed with DS9 normal music.
It's kind of cool.
The tune
isn't that interesting.
That sounds better.
But I guess it doesn't have to be that interesting for the sake of the story, because the tune's only important.
Chief O'Brien!
The tune's only important here at the beginning because Dax starts freaking out when she plays it and wants to finish it, and everyone's like weirded out.
Because she wants to fight everybody.
So did they actually come and give a name to that instrument?
No. Yeah, what was that?
It was like some weird perverted.
Banana.
It was a banana.
It was some weird perverted synthesizer piano.
I know. It was, yeah, like
Jake didn't learn how to use it, and Cisco gave him a dirty look.
So, right? Like, if it was some weird, like it was a piano, a synthesizer.
It was a tiny little
piano. But it was like it was curved. But it was all weird looking.
Now, it was like a bat left shape.
Now why was it all weird looking? Was it?
Because this is the future.
Was it supposed to be an alien piano?
Of course.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
It's an alien
okay.
banana. If it from
was
the future.
If it was some kind of weird alien instrument, you'd think it wouldn't sound just like a synthesized piano.
Yeah. What right, you would think? Heaven forfend. Was this
Beezus Fafoon.
Yeah, 1995, 96. I forget exactly when this episode aired.
Speaking of Jake Sisko.
Black and red fish with cream spinach and sauteed beets. Rocktagino, extra sweet. Yeah. Macabre bread, no
Macabre
crust.
Bread.
Add it to the list.
Macabre bread, no crust.
Does he have any other food orders?
Not in this episode.
No, but I mean ever that we've
I
recorded.
I feel like there was one other he said once, but I could be making
was
that he, up.
Was it another Rocktagino order or something like
Dad?
That?
Some chicken satay or something.
Dad!
He's getting so no, that's...
Jake!
That's all the stuff from...
Dad?
Oh no, that episode's so sad.
Jake? Dad? Jake? Dad?
A lot of those clips are from
Dad.
The visitor.
Jake?
Jake, no!
Dad?
Jake, no!
Dad?
Jake.
Dad?
Jake.
Dad?
Chief O'Brien.
Chief O'Brien? Jake's a good fella.
Hologram?
You're
not just saying that. We did it!
Okay.
Black and red fish with cream spinach and sauteed beets. Yo!
That sounds good, man.
Yeah, we got to go to break in a second, but just wanted to finish up any thoughts.
We lost the jib and port mainsail.
Black and white feet.
Well.
In this...
Hammock time. Hammock time.
Yo.
That's the episode Explorers.
Rocktagino. We're extra currently, sweet. Macabre bread, no crust.
Talking about Equilibrium, Dan. And in Equilibrium, in the episode Equilibrium, and you can feel free to talk into your microphone.
I'm not saying anything right now.
It's okay.
I'm looking for sounds.
It's fine.
You're not saying
that. I thought it was a trick.
Motherfucker.
Everything is triggered when Dax is like playing this music. Unexpectedly, she talks about how none of her hosts were any good at music, now she's playing Panano. Perfectly well. So that sets things off. And next, we'll talk about this strange chess scene between Dax and Sisko.
Musical ability often runs in families.
But yeah, we will talk about all of this and more on episode 288 of IGST when we come right back.
I'm serious. Leave.
Hello, we're back.
Coming.
Good.
You have to be careful not to overwhip it.
A bit of an awkward return there. Bit of an awkward return. But that's okay.
No, it wasn't. It was...
Coming.
It was... No, not your sound clip.
Sound... Oh, yeah, you were really awkward. I didn't know what you were doing. That fucked me up.
Okay.
To sell packages, I didn't know what being was a piece going. Of shit again.
All right, Dan's sidecast coming up.
Yeah, so we haven't really talked too much about like what this episode's... Oh, I wanted to mention, though... This was like one of the weirder fades into the opening music, because usually like when before they go from the teaser or the cold open into the music, it's some kind of like da-na-na.
Right,
but
yeah.
It just kind of faded out.
It was faded. Like dinner's ready.
Yeah, right. And like she was it was like dinner's ready, but she was too distracted by like the music to go to dinner,
yeah,
and that
right.
was like
freaking out.
That was like the whole opening. It was all quiet and eerie.
Maybe she didn't actually eat dinner. That's why she was so grumpy later on.
You're probably right.
The next day,
quiet.
I presume it's the next day. We see Dax and Sisko playing chess in his office, and this is peculiar because I don't think we've ever seen them play chess before or after. I don't think we've seen Sisko play chess or Dax. I think chess has just not been a thing on Deep Space Nine, particularly, especially not just regular old chess.
Don't play innocent with me, Benjamin.
So it looks weird because it's not something that the characters do regularly, but the way the scene is structured, it seems to suggest that this is like a thing they do all the time in order to demonstrate that Dax is behaving weirdly.
So you decided to make an illegal move to get my attention.
But we don't ever see them play chess regularly, so we get that she's acting crazy.
We both know you're trying to cheat me here.
I should say she's acting strangely, but that's one
why don't you just admit it?
That's one of the reasons why this is weird.
And why weren't they playing 3D chess?
Exactly. That's the other thing. I was like, why isn't it? This is Star Trek. They should all be playing 3D
maybe
chess.
Maybe that was only
multi-level chess.
Maybe that was only in vogue like a century prior.
No, they've totally had it on Deep Space Nine in the background.
Well, I mean, Sisko is also into baseball, so maybe he likes, you know, those old school, what we consider contemporary games.
They should have been playing that Alan Moraine game.
Yeah, that's right. That's definitely right.
Absolutely not.
Right.
Alan Moraine, bing, bang, bang. Alan Moraine, sang, sang, bang. Is that what they say?
Yeah. That's exactly what they say. Now, the Dax...
Oh, that is not good.
Dax acting out of character.
Mm-hmm.
We later retroactively...
Well, this is...
Understand.
This is getting to the territory of the weird Dax list.
Ah, good. Then we'll get to the... Then we can... This is a good point for the list. I was just going to comment that... We understand this is related to her having this other personality that's sort of emerging for, you know, expositional reasons.
Mm.
But it was kind of awkward, I thought, that she was acting really out of character, and it took a while before they were all like, okay, you got to go to the doctor.
Yeah.
Right. And I get it. You're not necessarily going to jump to the conclusion that somebody needs medical attention, but, certainly in the world of Star Trek where people have fairly consistent personalities other than Captain Janeway, then you're like, okay, something's seriously wrong with my one of my top officers and closest friends,
right,
who is accusing me of cheating and throwing a chessboard over. So it was just a little funny to me that
we know a guy that likes to knock the pieces off of a risk board. That's a different fellow.
Yeah, it's a different fellow. That's not the same person who likes to cheat at risk.
He just likes to, when he's losing, just wreck the game.
Yeah, exactly.
Who is that?
Well, we'll tell you at the break. You'll figure it out before then.
Yeah. How will I figure it out?
Don't worry, Dan. You'll figure it out. I love this. This is a podcast for
That explains two things.
People now. No, okay. So yeah, her personality went off the rails, and eventually they're like, okay, we got something's wrong with Dax.
Mm-hmm. She tried to fight Kira.
Yes, you would have thought. Would have thought something was wrong with her before that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they did, but I don't know. I'm not trying to be overly critical because I do like this episode. That was a little odd. Now, Dan. Do you think this is a good opportunity for Dax weirdness list?
Yeah.
The list of ways that Dax acted weird.
Yeah, I think so.
Is it an escalating order?
No, it's just chronological. They're usually chronological.
And this is not the same as your other list that wasn't a list, but it's now a list. That's a separate list.
It's not the same as Dan's minimally edited list that didn't start out as a list with numbers and title haphazardly added at
the
last minute.
That's going to be like a third break list.
Now, when you said, real quick, though, I just wanted to say, you said you liked this episode. I was kind of lukewarm to this episode because, as I alluded to earlier, it feels like it's mostly just exposition. We're told what happened. We're told what's happening through different characters, but it's just through different characters, and when something has to move forward, they reference like the magical trill caretaker who, like, he's like, huh, I don't know what's going on, I'll put my hand on your stomach, now I know, now we can move on with the plot, you know, like that kind of thing. And it was a lot of that going on.
Well, how well do you guys remember this episode from before? Had you seen it before?
I
think that factors in.
I don't remember it much at all.
No.
All
right,
so for me, this is interesting. I'm fascinated by this, actually, because I also felt lukewarm about the episode, but for me, I thought my lukewarmth
was from your pee?
No. No, not at all.
Do me a favor. Try.
I thought my lukewarm response was because I knew the twist ending. I knew the resolution to the plot. And I felt that this is one of those stories that probably works better when you don't yet know what's going on, because when you know what's going on, it's sort of like, okay, yeah, yeah, okay, I get it, okay, yeah, I know, it's the guy floating around, it's the extra personality.
It was interesting, because what it was interesting is it was one of those episodes that changes the lore of Star Trek forever, the whole symbiote thing.
That part I thought was a key bit of lore that
it was
I
kind
enjoyed.
Of interesting. I think they threw out a red herring with the whole wormhole business, because
the wormhole,
because they were saying Dr. Renhall was all like, Dax, you've been near a wormhole lately.
No, by the way, Why? You know what pissed me off about that, Doctor?
I know what pissed you off.
You know exactly.
Jancia.
Yes. And?
Dr. Bashir.
Yes. Do you think that she purposely, she's one of those people that purposely mispronounces names to express power?
Yes. Jalapeno. Yeah.
It really seemed like, I don't know if that was in the script or whether the actor was making that choice to be like, I'm going to make this person have villainistic tendencies as sort of a clue, foreshadowing of the fact that she was not necessarily the best person from a moral perspective, at least relative to our characters that we know and love.
Jadzia. Dr. Bashir.
But then Dax, maybe she just says it like that because her name, it sounds like...
Dr. Renhall.
Renhall. Yeah. She's not Renhall.
Renhall.
Bashir. Renhall. Bashir. Renhall. Right. She just
does she have a symbiont?
Emphasizes the first syllable of every name.
They didn't specify whether Dr. Renhall was a joined trill.
Do you have a last name if you don't have a symbiont?
I don't know.
Is Renhall her first
name? I think you might, but I don't know. That's a good question, actually.
That doesn't happen.
Because I figure maybe you had a surname, but it was switched out for the symbiont.
Yeah, it could be.
Commander, I don't know what you're talking about.
I don't know.
Still, a lot of trill lore worth exploring.
But what I was saying is there was like a red herring with the whole wormhole thing. Because
a red herring as opposed to red fish. And click the sound.
Blonde herring.
Click the sound, quick.
Black and red fish with cream spinach and sauteed beets.
Red herring is a type of red fish.
Yes. Okay, look. Probably
not a herring in New Orleans.
Okay. What I'm trying to point out is that when there was one part in the sea... In the episode where she goes, Bashir goes, or she goes, Renhall goes, her isobaramine levels are down to her borophyll levels are down to 51%, and she goes, I don't understand it.
Chlorophyll, more like borophyll.
She goes, a decrease that severe is usually the result of tissue damage, Commander. This wormhole you've discovered. Have your people done any surveys of the diametric fields it generates?
The diametric fields.
And then Sisko's like, yes. And then Bashir's like, do you think there's any correlation between Dax's condition and the wormhole? But there turns out they never talked about that again in the episode. Yeah. So was that a purposeful misdirect, I guess?
I guess it was...
Sisko was like, no, it's not the wormhole.
It's definitely not the wormhole. It's not the wormhole that gives her face worms.
Forget about it.
The face worms are not a result of all the wormholes.
The fucking face worms.
The face worms are not a result of the fucking wormhole.
Forget about the fucking wormhole.
I don't know that it was a red herring per se. I guess it qualifies.
Well, then was it
black and red fish with cream spinach and sauteed beets?
What it was in my eyes.
I hope you like beets.
It was what I like Star Trek doing, which is the scientific method style thing of saying, like, here are multiple possibilities. Now let's work through the experiments to figure out which thing is the thing that is causing the thing.
Oh, really? That thing?
If you catch my meaning.
Commander, I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, you know.
I don't get it.
All right, how about we hear that first list there, Dan?
Oh, yeah, we were doing a list.
We were doing a list. I don't think we got to the first one, the first list item.
Thank you.
You're a very dear man, Julian.
That was a weird... Anyway.
We'll get to that scene in a
okay.
bit.
Okay, Weird Dax, number one. Bashir compliments her playing, and she snaps at him, and she goes...
Quiet.
That was out of nowhere, and she didn't...
That was already weird.
And that was weird, and what made it...
Everybody stopped.
And what made it weirder is she didn't even freak out and go like, quiet! It was like, kind of like, it was... She snapped at him, like, but it was subtle, but just strong enough to be uncomfortable.
Yeah, everybody else was like, what?
Yeah, because look, and I watched it, I was like, wait... Was she supposed to be sounding like she was snapping at someone? She did sound like it, but it wasn't exaggerated. It was well placed, and well acted. Number two. Then she starts getting all frustrated trying to remember the song to the point of obsession. She doesn't even come to dinner, which is the point they cut to the opening theme. She, like, everyone went to dinner, and then everyone went to dinner, and they all went to dinner.
You mean, like, to the table?
To the table, and she was sitting there.
And what did they eat?
And the
black and red fish with cream spinach and sauteed beets.
Makaba bread, no crust.
But, like, yeah, everyone walked to the table, and then it, like, quietly faded out on her being all stressed out about remembering. Okay. Number three, later on, she hums the tune nonstop during their non-three-dimensional chess game.
It's aggravating Sisko.
Yeah, so much that he gets distracted.
It's a little distracting.
Whoa, buddy. What's going on there?
That's a little distracting, Jamie.
It's a little distracting.
What's going on?
It's a little distracting.
There we go.
It's a little distracting.
You're a little distracting.
Are you just like smearing your fingers across that touchscreen?
Do me a favor. Try. Do me a favor. Try.
That's where you need the Vic Fontaine saying, crazy.
Crazy.
Crazy. Crazy. That is crazy.
That's crazy.
Hey,
Vic Jim. Fontaine.
It's crazy. I'm a live.
I'm Vic Fontaine.
I
you know what?
Digital
I'm,
heroin.
You know. Whoa.
That guy died or something.
You're crazy about the bruh, but you're afraid to do anything about it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Don't you have him just saying crazy?
I love the crazy
theory. Hey, crazy.
Yeah, there you go. That's a pretty good one.
It's just a crazy idea.
But that was also like when it was also uncomfortable when Sisko says, "Do me a favor, try." Like he fucked her up when he said that. Like that was like a like that he was like that was like that was like as mean as I've seen Sisko ever be to Dax.
That's like when she snapped.
That's the chain of command part too, where you're like, okay, they're in his office playing chess.
Yeah,
and he's
okay.
Like, he's like, no, I'm ordering you to stop fucking humming.
Yeah, you know, basically. Okay, maybe that's why I had that question in my head. Maybe
it's
it wasn't
weight
the
weight of authority behind
maybe,
it.
Maybe what I was wondering is like, can she get in trouble for like smashing the chessboard to her superior officer? Can you get in trouble for that?
One would presume that would be a fairly hefty.
There might be a. She might get written up.
Yeah, fairly hefty problem.
But I mean, you're it's your leisure time, you know?
Yeah, in the boss's office.
Yeah, but it's still leisure time. I mean, you can't be playing chess while you're on duty.
I mean, she's just a lieutenant. He's a commander. Like, they shouldn't be playing games.
Yeah, well, at least not while they're on duty, right? Right? So if
they were in uniform.
That's exactly right. That must have been what I was thinking about earlier is that scene, not the dinner scene.
Yeah,
it was about that scene.
They were totally
so,
in uniform.
Yeah.
Maybe they were trying to evoke the scene of Death playing chess with the main character in that black and white movie. A famous movie.
Seventh Seal.
The Seventh Seal, yeah.
You're not
Max von Sydow.
Yeah, or Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey.
Yeah. Same movie.
Yeah.
You're damn right.
Station.
Damn right.
Yeah, there we go. There we go. That was good.
Good stuff.
Yeah, it was well done.
Anyways, yeah, so it seems like, you know, she could get in trouble for that. But if it's leisure time, I don't know. Anyways.
Which list item was that?
That was number three.
Yeah.
Number four, she then accuses Sisko of cheating and knocks over the chess game.
Mm-hmm.
And no, actually having this list. Can someone get in trouble for insulting their superior officer when they're just hanging out playing a game? So there, that's what it's from. I have that written down the list.
Everyone, you can write in at feedback@discussstartrek.com. I know we have people in various militaries around the world, U.S. military, Australian military, Australian Navy,
so the question
North
is,
Korean military.
So the question is, do you think Dax could get in trouble for calling her superior officer a cheater and then smashing the chessboard?
I said oh, yes, that's the question of the audience. Yes.
Yes.
Feedback@itsgotstartrek.com. Let us know what would happen if you overthrew a board game with your superior officer and
talked in your wine voice.
No,
to
no,
him.
Not the wine voice. Tell us what board game you'd be most likely playing.
Chutes and Ladders.
Stratego.
Could be a game of life. Or Mensch ärgerlich nicht in the German Navy, maybe? German Navy. Sorry. I shouldn't laugh at that. It's not nice. All right. Next list item.
Oh, man, my computer went all wacky. Hold on. Okay, number five. Then Kira tries to help Dax, and Dax gets all super mean to her.
Yeah.
He accuses her of taking Sisko's side. Then she tells her to leave.
She was ready to sock her one.
And then Dax is like, fuck this, and goes.
Yeah.
And Kira grabs her, and Dax basically threatens to beat her ass. And Kira looks... There's so many, like, most of it, every, like, this is the silliest I've seen.
That was the smartest thing you've done since you got here.
This is the silliest I've seen Odo... B, this is the meanest I've seen a Sisko B to Dax, and this is the most shocked I've ever seen Kira look.
She's like, just like, you're talking to me like this?
Yeah, right, no.
Kira's I could like, bite you, dude.
Kira's like, I'm a fucking blown up Cardassians.
Yeah, and then Dax basically calls her a dumb shit when Kira takes her hands off Dax, and she's like, that's the first thing.
Right.
That's the first darn thing you've done since you got here.
That's the first smart thing you've done since you got here, Wimeface.
Six, 6. Remember, this is a weird Dax list, not just
how
a,
many,
not
how
just
many
an
points
angry.
Do we have here?
Yeah, Dan did not give us a preview of how many points.
10. We're almost there. So remember, this is a weird Dax list, not just an angry Dax list. So number 6, she starts hallucinating weird mask people, which I wasn't real clear
on
that.
Whole after the list is done, I want to talk about the hallucinations.
Okay, 7. Now this wasn't, I don't know if they meant for her to look like this in the scene, but the way I interpreted this scene, when she was in Bashir's room, she almost seemed kid-like way she, she was like, the way she was like interested in what he was reading.
Oh yeah,
she's like,
was weird.
Yeah, she's like, oh, anything I'd be interested
that
in?
That was weird. And they wanted, and she wanted to bunk up with him.
Yeah, maybe it's just because I'm not used to
I sleep in your room?
Maybe it's just because I'm not used to seeing her all chummy in her bedtime clothes or something.
Oh, by the way, her pajamas way more practical than T'Pol's.
Oh, yeah, shit. I know, it's kind of absurd.
Because earlier in the show, Bashir's all trying to be like, hey baby, and she's like, listen, dude.
Some of that is played into this scene here where it was almost, they didn't go there, but it was almost like Bashir was wrestling with, should I take advantage of Dax because she seems all vulnerable?
Look, she's asleep already.
I don't think that they were going in that direction, but there was an undercurrent of us knowing that Bashir has a crush on Dax.
Which kind of made it weird when he's like, you want to sleep and you can spend the night if you want, but it didn't feel creepy. But
you know why it didn't feel creepy? Because Bashir's pajamas are stupid.
Maybe that's what it was.
He's like the silliest fucking pajamas.
Right, so the thing is logically, or I don't know, like it didn't feel creepy, but also at the same time, like knowing Bashir and his history with her kind of made it creepy. It was like simultaneously creepy and
like
not creepy.
It's going to take some effort to get his dick out of that thing.
No, I was thinking more along the lines of nothing sexual would ever happen to a man dressed in those pajamas.
Same difference.
But
it neutralizes any sort of sexual tension.
But then
I think his pajamas had shoulder pads.
And they did. She was all talking about being in the shit with Bashir, like when she was in the Trill world, she's talking about being in the shit. Yeah, like
I spent 3 years as a Trill initiate.
Like that part?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then later, Yolad said something similar.
They could have met when my brother went off to become an initiate.
Yolad.
An initiate.
He was using the worm wine voice.
Talking about being in the shit.
Yeah.
Initiate.
Because they were saying in the shit.
Initiate. Right.
So audience at home.
Feedback.
I spent 3 years as a Trill initiate.
Dan's just staring at me. So if his voice is not quite fully on microphone, it's because he's staring directly at me and keeps saying Dax is talking about being in the shit.
She was in the shit.
I spent 3 years as a Trill initiate.
In the shit.
For our younger listeners, being in the shit was a common phrase, I believe, popularized during the Vietnam War.
Yeah,
perhaps earlier, but certainly, I think it came into the public consciousness in the United States anyway, during and after the Vietnam War.
Right. I spent 3 years as a Trill initiate.
I didn't know they could say those words on DS9.
It's from the movie Rushmore.
Okay, you know what? I'm a little late to this party here. I'm now just now getting the joke that Dan was making. I wasn't getting the joke earlier.
you really?
Are
you serious?
I totally wasn't getting the joke earlier. Now I'm getting the joke.
Wait, are you fucking with
me? Great.
I'm not fucking with you. I just thought you were being peculiar. You know, sometimes Dan is. Sometimes Dan's.
Oh, that is not good. Not good at all.
Sometimes the style of comedy.
Yeah,
I'm gonna be peculiar.
It's peculiar Dan,
and I was enjoying it. I was appreciating the humor from the peculiar Dan.
And
stance.
When you talked about being in the shit, you didn't put it together with what Dax was saying.
Go ahead and play the.
That's hilarious. This is the greatest.
I still don't believe that you actually didn't know what I was talking about. I thought you were I thought you were dead facing me.
Even I got.
Maybe you should.
I thought you were no selling it.
No, maybe you should. comment on that on your on the Dan Globet side.
On the sidecast.
I can't believe this guy looked
fucking piece of shit. Patrick didn't get when I was talking about made Dax talk about shit on the podcast. He didn't get it. Even though he said shit. He said shit. He didn't put it together.
Oh, that reminds me. By the way, before when we were leaving the first going to the first break, I mentioned that we would look up on the during the break what recorder was used in the Netflix program Bodkin. I did search. And unfortunately,
it's not.
This discussion has been had a lot, but nobody's come to a conclusion.
Oh, well, what it is.
Damn, dude.
And no people from the show. So if somebody in our audience happens to be a production person, a behind the scenes person on the Netflix show Bodkin,
likely.
I think it's quite likely.
I bet dollars to
donuts.
We
have plenty of listeners in Ireland
that happen to be production assistants.
Well, that I don't know.
That's what's part of the fucking question.
But it's plausible.
I don't think it's that plausible that somebody who listens to this show happened to have worked on Bodkin.
It's plausible that a fan either in L.A. or in Ireland worked on Bodkin and also not only worked on Bodkin but has intimate knowledge of the props and knows which hand recorder
I think you give this
was utilized.
I think you give this podcast too much credit for its...
I have an optimistic viewpoint. Yeah, it's okay. An evergreen podcast too. Maybe we'll find the answer 2 years down
the
line.
For the record, mine is a Zoom H1N. I found like the cheapest one I could on eBay.
Isn't that a bird flu?
H1N?
Oh no, that's H1N1.
Yeah.
So this is almost a bird. H1. You got M1. A fucking bird flu recorder.
It has an 1/8 inch line out and an 1/8 inch line in.
Influenza.
And it can record on mini SD cards up to 32 gigabytes.
These Tascam DR40s have XLR.
Well, yeah, I know yours. I know yours is much better than mine, but I purposely wanted a piece of shit. It's not a piece of shit. I'm just saying.
I like the audio quality.
Quality's not bad. I want totally something that like I don't mind carrying around and hucking about that I don't have to worry about. Well,
sign up for our Patreon, and if you're lucky, you might get access to Dan's sidecast.
Record your little song ideas.
Yeah, like, well,
I've got balls in my mouth.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that song. I think
Dan was singing that song before the podcast.
Yeah,
for a long time.
I've got duty in my butt.
I didn't say that. That's a sequel.
That's an older song.
Oh, it's a prequel song.
It's out of my butt.
No, the reason I bought this, I told you guys off the podcast, was that I want to like hook it up. I want to output from my synthesizer direct line into
it. Hook it up.
I want to output from my synthesizer directly. I want to output from a synthesizer directly into the line in on this machine and then line out from this machine to an amplifier so I can listen to myself practicing on the synthesizer.
That sounds badass.
I want to listen to myself practicing on the synthesizer and record it at the same time.
Yeah.
Which is not a hard thing to do, but I want something that's really quick and easy to set up. Like, I don't have to like plug in this and plug in that and press these buttons and click the mouse and all that stuff.
Right, and this was not a sponsored ad.
Not at all.
The Zoom Corporation,
H1N!
They're not paying you to make these comments.
Influenza.
In fact, you might critique this later after you've tried it out. But so far, so good.
So far, so good. Okay.
This was a piece of shit.
Here's the joke that Patrick didn't get. See if you get it, audience.
I spent 3 years as a Trill initiate.
Now I get it.
See, and he said it too.
They could have met when my brother went off to become an initiate.
That one's not as quite as good as this one.
Yeah. I spent 3 years as a Trill initiate.
Now I get it, and I'm delighted.
Well done
that you've discovered that your tendency towards the blue humor.
Well, I think the fact that you
benefited us here.
The fact that you didn't get it really speaks towards my poor delivery. I'll say it's my fault.
I wouldn't say that.
You're too kind. Okay, you're too kind. You're too kind. You're too kind. Okay. You're too kind.
Listen, you guys.
You guys are too kind.
Next list item.
Okay. And also when Bashir at the end, Bashir was even like, up you go to her, like when he lifted her up to the fucking the end of number 7, how she was kid like and like he was like, up you go, you know, the way he talked to her. We talked to her like a kid. It was a weird scene. Number 8. Totally. This is a conversation between Dax, Sisko, and Bashir. Mm-hmm. Dax goes, I don't know why we came back here when I could be taking you on a tour of the Teneran ice cliffs.
Yeah.
Sisko's like, you're not taking us anywhere, Dax.
Right.
Bashir goes, you're going straight to your quarters to rest. And Dax is like, but... And then Bashir goes, no buts, doctor's orders. And then Dax goes, but I cannot sleep in the afternoon. It's another scene where she's kind of acting like a kid. Like, she's acting like a kid who doesn't want to eat her vegetables,
right,
you know?
And they're like, just close your eyes.
Yeah, he goes, just lie down, close your eyes, and try not to think. And
that works for me.
Exactly, Sisko. And then she looks at them all harumphingly and, like, walks off. Like, that's, like I said, it's like a kid doesn't want to eat their Brussels sprouts or whatever.
She should have kicked them in the ball.
Real quick, because it applies to Dax taking a nap here, but also to the bunk scene in Bashir's quarters.
No.
Why don't they have any blankets?
Because that's how they do it in the future. Man.
It's upsetting.
It's perfectly comfortable.
Yeah, maybe.
I need to have I'm a duvet person. I need a duvet. Even in the summer, I'll crank up the...
Do you put?
I like a little sheet.
Don't mix up your duvet with your bidet.
No.
No, that's not the kind of thing that's going to happen.
You guys never know.
Sort of conceptually.
Know. Never know. I bet that what they don't have blankets because
they squirt my duvet up my butt.
Yeah, maybe.
Is that what you think is going to happen?
Yes, why not? I don't see why not. I don't know, man. I don't know.
All right. I was upset that they don't have blankets.
Well, what I was trying to say is that the reason they don't have blankets is because their environmental controls go down to the molecular level.
They've got like serious pajamas.
Yeah, to the molecular level.
I need weight on my body.
In the future.
To feel safe at
night. I know, but
I don't think I need them.
No, here's the thing, is that the molecular level environmental controls were introduced like way many years before, and at first people still wanted to wear blankets because of the reason you just stated. Mm-hmm. But over time, as generations passed on, like the kids thought it was cool. It's like, we like to sleep without blankets because we're cool. And it just kind of stuck after that because the kids were rebelling against their parents who were, they were the blankies and the anti-blankies. Yeah. The blankies and the nonkies.
The Romans didn't have blankets.
The blankies and the nonkies. The nonkies.
Romans didn't invent blankets?
They didn't have blankets.
See, that's what I'm saying.
I mean, it was warmer. You know, was
didn't they like not invent
Roman
like a
warm period?
Like, so some things just weren't invented until late.
Yeah, right.
I don't see how that's relevant.
They didn't wear pants.
The ancient Egyptians like didn't use the
this is
the,
irrelevant.
The wheel very much. Yeah.
Didn't need to.
How many more list items are left?
I told you there were 10, and yeah. Everyone was there.
Okay.
9. She hallucinates.
Hallucinates.
It wasn't that funny.
2 utes.
This is a little exaggerating when you laugh that hard because I added a weird consonant.
Oh, he said it so
He said hallucinates. Oh, my God.
I totally lost my shit.
Oh, my God. Oh.
John C.
She hallucinates again and starts fighting invisible people and almost punches Bashir out.
Yeah,
number 10, she sees a picture of Jaron Balar, who wrote the tune.
Jaron Balar.
And she hallucinates more masked people and then faints.
Yeah.
That was my list of weird
The guy that played that guy was also like a magician.
In real life, he's a magician?
Yeah.
I have it marked down that he looks like an AI monster.
Yeah, totally.
There's something weird about the, not the actor himself, but the way they did him up, the makeup.
With those masks.
I wasn't clear why they were wearing masks, and I wasn't clear why that one guy had a mask over the other mask. Like, he took off the mask and had another mask.
Oh, yeah.
It was
like a hat on a hat.
It just seemed like it was trying to be, like, creepy for the sake of being creepy. Agreed. Or was there supposed to be some kind of, metamask? Was there supposed to be some kind of meaning behind the mask or something?
The mask would have made more sense when she took off the mask.
It should have been
like Darth Vader, take off the mask, and then it's Luke Skywalker. It should have been Jadzia looking back at herself.
That's what I was hoping.
But it wasn't, so it was just like, oh, okay.
Was it just the mask because it's like we didn't know who it was? Was that supposed to be? It's like, who is it? We don't know. They got a mask.
I liked it because it was creepy.
And then when he pulled off the mask and had another mask, it was like, oh, we're going to find out who he is. No, she still can't find the dude living in her own head is. I guess that's what it was, but it wasn't. See, I like the one better where the peptide cake or whatever.
The cellular peptide.
I like that one better.
That dream sequence?
Because that was just a straight up dream and it was meant, the purpose was to be goofy because it was a creepy dream.
Well, you know what time it is?
Time for you to poop in my butt.
No, it's time to take a break.
That was crass. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to be so crass.
I like that. That's what you consider crass.
That's what you consider crass.
We'll conclude our discussion of the dream sequences and of the show, the episode in its entirety, when we return from the break, which will be right after I say we'll be right back.
I'll see you in the morning.
Ah, damn it.
No.
Deal with it, motherfucker.
You said I'll be right back.
Yeah, I know.
I thought you were there.
I understand. Here, I'm going to say we'll be right back, and then you can play the sound, okay?
Is it like on 3? 1, 2, 3, go.
We'll be right back.
I'll see you in the morning.
There we go.
Sweet dreams.
And we're back.
It's good to see you again.
Indeed it is.
Well, we were on the subject of mask dudes.
Yeah, specifically the dream sequence. We mentioned in Favorite Son a couple weeks ago when we discussed Voyager's Favorite Son.
Mm-hmm.
We commented on Trek's tendency to have weird dream sequences.
Gooby.
And I understand, but both of you guys maybe don't think this is the best episode ever. I did enjoy these dream sequences in I don't know about their function, but the production design was cool. The mask the mask looked cool.
It looked cool.
It was neat.
I don't know what I'm supposed to get out of it thematically, but
I did, and I liked the whole thing at the end where Sisko figured out the secret about the Trill.
The secret of the ooze.
Yeah. TMNT 2. That was not a good movie.
No. That was totally TMNT, Star Trek.
TMNT 2 is a terrible movie.
Yeah. I remember when I first started watching it, within like 5 minutes, I was like, there's something not quite right.
I think that was one of those the first movies, if not the first movie, where I realized movies could be bad.
Yeah, right. I know.
Right. And then you start looking backwards and you're like, oh man, some of this shit I watched was terrible.
It wasn't cool but rude.
Right. Or crude. Speaking of shit, I think I talk about I have too much potty humor. I need to cut back on the potty humor.
Really? I don't think you got it.
It's talking about too much doo-doo in the butt. It's like it's just like,
well, where else would the doo-doo be?
I mean, people,
that's where
people,
it comes from.
Sometimes
dude.
People are eating sandwiches while they listen to this podcast.
Really?
Not a good idea.
People are just sitting around eating sandwiches. Yeah, listening to podcasts.
And, like the lettuce and the tomato and the mayonnaise is all falling out the end as they're eating it. You know?
Oh my goodness.
You know, like the
Jesse doesn't like mayonnaise. You know, like he doesn't like eggs. He doesn't like mayonnaise.
You know, like a big construction worker.
I don't like.
You know, like a big construction worker who's all eating a giant sandwich where all the food is the food debris is falling out of his mouth in the back of the sandwich. Yeah.
Why is it gotta be a construction worker?
And it's like pulling out the back of a sandwich.
He's a classist.
I think Dan's doing some class warfare.
That's just what the cartoons tell you.
Well, yeah, cartoons are neoliberal imperialistic propaganda machines.
I see.
Not all of them, but some of them. Mm-hmm. You know, trying to generate class warfare to distract us from the people who are truly ripping us off.
You guys are both
the people with the wine voice.
No.
The billionaires, they all talk like this together. They all get together and they're like, look at those stupid people down there. Those people are ants. Not literally, but metaphorically. These people are all fucking ants. And they do our bidding.
Can I ask what you're doing?
Just a little social commentary. It's a Star Trek. It's a Star Trek. You're allowed to have social commentary.
No, I demand you stop having social commentary.
All right.
Do you understand my terms?
Jesus fucking Christ. Sisko is so great when Sisko's in threatening mode.
Yeah.
Because a really consistent character trait of Sisko is when he decides to threaten you.
Yeah.
He means it.
That was great.
It's not an empty threat.
He was like, I don't care about your secret. Like,
he's like, I don't
Do
give a shit about
understand
that.
Understand my terms.
That's pretty threatening. Oh, I was gonna say, then there was the other dream sequence where the masked dude was like, it's beautiful, isn't it? I guess he's talking about the song is beautiful. And then
who knows? That guy was nuts.
But why? Okay, hear me out here. I'm going to answer my own question, or give an explanation of what I think one of the answers might be.
So you're going to be both the cause of and solution to a problem.
Isn't that like the Platonic, like those conversations? What were the name of those books? Wasn't that Plato who had those, like, you read this philosophy and it's always like, always him like talking like.
You ask questions.
It's like the cave.
It's like he was he would write these books where it was a conversation between him, the smart guy.
Yes, a dialogue.
It was a conversation.
What does that? I thought you were asking.
Well, please let me finish my question, okay? I'm explaining what I'm meaning, because it's not simply a dialogue.
Gotcha.
It's not. I know what a dialogue is. It's two people talking. There's a specific form of the talking. Yes. What is he writing? What's those books called where you have two people talking to each other? No, it's a philosophy style. I think it's Plato. Yeah. I could get it wrong, but
what the
style is he's
Dana Plato.
He's the way he's explaining his philosophy is he has this dialogue between two people, one of which represents him, the smart guy, and the other represents the stupid guy. He's like, well, what if you did this? And then his character's like, well, actually, philosophically speaking, it's super stupid to do that. It's super smart to do my way. And in this conversation. Yeah. He's always disproving the stupid guy, but it's not fair because he's just like presenting the conversation in such a way that benefits his side.
Plato kind of sucks, by the way, and so does.
I think that was Plato.
Aristotle also
sucks. Yeah.
And the thing is Aristotle.
Maybe it was Aristotle.
Aristotle believed and pushed a bunch of really dumb ideas.
Yeah, totally.
And
non-observational.
I think that gets lost sometimes when people are learning about philosophers in school, where it's important to learn about these philosophies that shaped our culture, our law, how we interact with each other. It's also important to know that many old philosophers, while the process of philosophy was interesting, the actual conclusions they came to, many of those conclusions were really dumb.
Aristotle shaped like the Middle Ages and how the Middle Ages like viewed the world.
Yeah, well, and they partly like misread.
Right, and it was a lot about misreading. So what you know,
make it mean what you want it to mean.
Like we've moved on from that stuff.
Well, and the thing is we see this with Star Trek fans. There are some. There's a broad diversity in Star Trek fans, and there is a segment of the Star Trek fandom where you're like, really? You like this show? The things you seem to think and the policies you seem to champion seem to be at odds with right. the general philosophy of the show, but it's because you can view anything through the prism that you want to view it through.
How do you know that unless you try?
Yeah. Bashir knows what's up. Or Bashir. Dr. Bashir.
Dr. Bashir. Dr. Bashir.
Knows what's up.
So it was, so part of that, mask dude who's like talking about it's beautiful. Why did it that what also happened in that same dream is she hallucinated people attacking her.
Yeah.
Now why did she hallucinate people attacking her?
Because
I just told you what I was gonna do.
I didn't realize.
I just fucking told you what I was gonna do.
I'm sorry, I thought you were asking a question.
I knew that was gonna happen, okay. Which is specifically I said goodness. I'm going to ask and answer
I forgot about that. It's because I respect you more than Plato.
You were so eager to jump in. Like, because of blah, 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 blah.
This is the problem with philosophy, man.
It is because I respect you more than I respect Plato. And
well,
so
thank
I just,
you.
I just didn't think you were going to, you know, do the same to Plato. But I get it. Now you did explain it.
Okay.
This is a context you've set
you
up.
You can give your opinion after I give my opinion.
So she's attacked.
Okay, so why is
in the hallucination?
So yeah, why do all these people appear in the hallucination to attack her? I think they attacked her just so we could see that she was hallucinating uniforms from over 100 years ago, which indicates it was a vision from her past life, because she does mention later that those uniforms were over 100 years. I think that's the only reason she got attacked.
I think that's the primary reason. Although you can also say,
or did a past host get attacked or something?
Well, he's the one who presumably got, because remember they said they arrested him. He killed his.
He killed the guy. They did show that.
Yeah.
They showed that.
So
that was the
he totally moited.
But that was the third dream where he goes, he left me no choice.
But he was
nothing to be done.
There was no choice for the wine. There's no wine choice.
There was nothing to be done about.
There's no wine choice.
He was apprehended, and at one point his brother says that he was told that what's his name? Balar, Joran Balar.
Balan is on it.
Joran Balar.
Joran Balar.
A host named Joran Balar.
Balan is on it.
Toroyes.
His brother, I forget what his brother's name was, if they mentioned
it. Or Yolad.
Yolad, but Yolad Balar.
Yolad Balar.
Yolad Balar.
Yolad Balar.
Yolad Balar. Yolad Balar.
He was Dax's fifth host, wasn't he?
I like, that's a, this is a good,
Toroyes.
This is a great Cisco delivery.
He was Dax's fifth host, wasn't he?
Very expositional as well. It's like, yeah, we all know. I mean, they probably were.
He's got a nice rhythm to what he says.
Of course he does. He always
does. He's a
fucking
guy.
Avery Brooks.
Yeah.
His brother says
evidence!
That he was told that Joran was killed while trying to escape.
Mm-hmm.
So he murdered the guy, then tried to escape, and then he was killed. Now, we don't know 100% exactly what happened. We know he murdered a guy.
Stabbed him in the head.
But so at some point, presumably some guards were grabbing at him. So she might have been, that might have been a memory. The hallucination was a memory.
Mm-hmm.
Of being attacked by the guards and possibly murdered.
It was all kind of subtle, of course. But
I agree.
We're stepping into the territory of Dan's minimally edited list that didn't start out as a list with numbers and title haphazardly added at the last minute.
Let's go for it. How many bullet points on this list?
12.
You better get started.
Jeez.
Sorry. I'm drinking an IPA out of my Lower Decks beer mug here.
Oh, man.
That was just a natural reaction. What am I going to do?
That cup looks cool. Yeah.
Yeah. No, this is really cool. It's a cool cup. It's got the Star Trek symbol, and then there's a toothpick with two olives.
Where did you learn all this?
Through the Star Trek symbol. It says USS Cerritos.
Mm.
It's a pint glass style, you know? Good old pint glass. British
is this
style.
Some kind of joke?
No, I'm quite serious.
That's what they use on the
Cerritos. That doesn't happen.
No, it does. It's a lovely gift. It's a etched glass that says USS Cerritos with a cool logo on it.
We wondered about that, too.
Well, all right. Well, wonder no longer.
I just think you look so cute.
Thanks, I appreciate that, Dan. While we're at
beginner's
it,
luck.
While we're at it, Jesse has selected, as per his habit, he selected the Deep Space Nine Scotch tumbler or whiskey tumbler.
Oh yeah.
So Dan,
he left me no choice.
Dan had gifted me these lovely tumblers. Mm-hmm. One has the TOS Enterprise, the 1701 original. One has the USS Enterprise D. 171-D. One has Deep Space Nine, and one has the USS Discovery.
Yeah.
Whose number I forget.
I change it up depending on what we're talking
no,
about.
No, I'm glad I did.
Or if it's somehow applicable. Yeah.
So that's the type of detail we pay attention to here on the It's Got Star Trek podcast, is that Jesse will drink brown liquors out of the appropriate glass for the show we are discussing.
Up you go.
All right. So, Dan, your list.
Okay. It's thank you, Jesse. Oh, in little asterisks, I have underneath three asterisks on either side. It just says Tarius and Jiran. So I guess that's also, that's probably a better title, but I didn't intend that to be the
title.
Are
these all about Tarius and Jiran?
I don't know. I think it's sort of like about that whole thing. It's not just specifically them. Okay, okay. Starting at number one. Tarius Dax was the fifth host who caused his symbiont trauma when he was injured in a shuttlecraft.
Yes.
Number two. We have to figure out how these are related because I'm not even quite sure.
Okay.
Number two.
This is your list.
Yeah, I know. It's
gotcha.
Just
reconfirming.
But it was a haphazard list. Number two. Jaron Bellar, 86 years ago, wrote that tune. He was born on Stardate 1024.7 and he died on 8615.2. That's a lot.
Sounds like some fucked up radio station.
Stardates, you know, what are you going to do?
I think this pieces together like how... Anyway, some parts of the story. Number three, Bashir knew that Baylar's file had been altered because of the data compression ratio was off.
Yeah, that was fucked
up. The ratios for a file that's five times larger. You'd think that they wouldn't have overlooked that sort of discrepancy when they decided to purge or delete the file,
or
which
they
called
would recompress it, or they would just be standard that a file, you know, decompressed in order to access the data, and then when you're saving the data back,
maybe the Trill aren't that smart.
Recompress it.
It just doesn't seem like it would be that easy. It shouldn't be that easy to figure out that a file's been purged.
I think Jesse's right.
Or the Trill authorities really have like the people in the lockdown, like they're keeping them stupid, keeping them uninformed. Like only a few of us can be joined with.
Oh, the earlier one about the trauma reminds me of the scene back when Dax was talking to Bashir about like how doctors made her scared, and then she was like, somehow being a patient is worse than being like an initiate. But she was talking about how traumatic the initiation process was, and like what's more, and that makes this episode even more fucked up because, like, at the end, it's like totally unnecessary. Mm-hmm. Like, and she got all this trauma and shit from all this stuff that was like completely not
to
needed.
Me. That's another thing that makes me.
Makes it a little better.
Enjoy and intrigued by this show. Yeah, it's all the lore stuff. I think it's interesting.
I think there are a couple good parts, but like I said, it's all exposition mixed in with like magic to move it forward.
How many other?
But there are some interesting ideas.
Do you see like the pools with the simians? Is it just this one in the Discovery?
Because we do see it in Discovery.
Yeah, there's like the Discovery shit.
Was this the only
with like a different? It has a different feel because it's a different situation.
Yeah, I don't know. I thought I remembered seeing it before. Maybe I just have vague memories of watching this episode from before.
In Discovery, you see like a bunch of the spirits of the different symbionts for that. I'm the different hosts for that symbiont.
Host with the most.
For like the Tull symbiont.
Yeah.
And in this one, you like...
In this shit.
I spent 3 years as a Trill initiate.
It's like a council of the host spirits. And then in this one, you see like the spirit of like Jaron Badan or whatever his name is.
Jaron Bellar.
When she spent
she hugs him and he all melts away. So but like, you know, it's for different reasons.
When she's talking about having spent 3 years as a Trill in this shit, she's talking about being in that goopy electro pool, right?
No. She's talking about...
I don't think she just swimming
Dan's
around.
Smiling, okay? Folks at home, Dan has a cheeky smile in his face.
Well, when
I spent 3 years as a Trill initiate.
And that shit she's
classic
talking about...
Cheeky Dan.
The shit she's talking about is the slimy Trill pool.
See, Dan is pretending to be, you know, on the dimmer side for the sake of comedy.
He's playing it coy.
He's very clever.
Are we really like explaining this joke a second time?
We're explaining. Is it the second time?
Yeah, you don't remember earlier in the episode?
No, not the in the shit stuff.
That's what I was saying. It's like she spent it was a callback to that joke.
She was there getting tested and having to walk around and study before she was joined.
Okay.
It's the
do you realize
symbiotes.
When I said that, it was a callback to the previous joke. Because I was saying, when she talked about spending 3 years in this shit.
Yes.
which is a callback to the previous joke. Yeah. She was referring to getting in the Trill pool of goop. Yeah. It was a callback.
Yeah. No, I get it.
But she tried to play it as if I was playing dumb. I was playing a callback.
Okay. But it involved, like, the in order for the callback to work, the premise requires you to be stupid.
No, because, like, there's so many jokes that, like... That's like half of humor is to be like, you mean a burba doo doo, you know, and it's like, it's like, of course it's not that
old joke,
you know, when
the old Babadoo joke,
you know, and then someone says something and you use a play on words and you say something absurd, and if you really meant what you said, that would make you stupid, right? But that you don't, because it's absurd, which is why it's funny, because it's subversive.
I'm glad we've explained all this.
That's now, right. Now Patrick's playing this part of a sarcastic asshole.
You gotta, bring up the recorder.
Piece of shit, Patrick. Sarcastic asshole again. Fuck him up.
Speaking of the caves, this is one of the better Star Trek caves. Caves are great. There's a Lower Decks episode called Caves that goes into deep, you know, sort of talks about how, you know, you have this tradition of good Star Trek caves. And it's something we lose a little bit in the newest Star Trek, because the production design and quality of the production design is so high.
It's got a milky pool.
That you don't get that same type of cave that you got from TOS through Enterprise. Even in the HD, the Enterprise cave still had that styrofoamy Star Trek cave look, which is an aesthetic that I think is just wonderful. And this one is like, with the dry ice and the pools and the laser zaps. And
TOS cave was like hardly a cave at all.
But there's like an evolution of this sort of a similar design conceit.
So I can zip through this list here.
Zip it.
Next time Patrick makes a joke, I'm going to point out how his premise means he's stupid.
Well, if that's what
you do it all the time. You do it all the time. Okay, the other day I was saying something and you were like, okay, Columbo. It's like, you must be an idiot if you think I'm Columbo. That was a TV show.
No. Yeah, but that was a funny joke.
See, but that means you're stupid because you can't tell the difference between TV and real life and me and Columbo. Right. See?
Damn, dude.
If you're taken literally, every joke means you're stupid.
I don't support that, but in that particular joke you're talking about, maybe. All right. Next list item.
Of this sort of like, figure out yourself how this is related. Okay, so we just end with the file ratio purging. Number 4. Belar died on the same day that Torias Dax died. The same day the Dax symbiont was put into Curzon. Then Sisko goes, whoever purged the main database might have missed something. I don't know why. Oh, yeah. And then he goes, yeah, they did. They missed the fact that anyone could come up and tell the files. Wait a second. I think I mixed 4 and 3. I think I should have put part of 4 in 3. Oh, man. See how haphazard this list is?
Dan, you're so crazy.
Okay, yeah, what I should have said was that Bashir fucked with thing, and then I should said, Sisko said, whoever purged the main database might have missed something, and yeah, they did miss something. They missed the fact that anyone could come up and tell the file's been fucked with by looking at its data compression ratio. That was part of 3, and I said it as part of number 4. Okay, so number 5, all I'm saying is that Belar died on the same day as Torias Dax died, the same day the Dax symbiont was put into Curzon.
But that apparently, and correct me if I'm wrong, but that has to be, like, not true, right? Because isn't the whole deal that Joran Belar had the Dax symbiote in him for 6 months?
Yeah.
And so Torias must have died. The Dax symbiote went into Jabroni Jones.
Jabroni Jones. Jabroni Jones. Okay, actually, the next few points are going to speak to that.
Okay.
Number 6, Joran's brother is Yolad. Number 7. Dan's haphazard list. Yolad's brother died 85 years ago.
Yes.
How old does that make Yolad? Like 120?
Well, presumably they're long-lived.
Presumably. Trill. Okay, number 8. 6 months before his brother Joran killed the doctor, the same doctor that said Joran shouldn't be a Trill, he talked to Yolad and told him he'd been joined. So he killed the doctor... Six months after being joined.
And that's what got the Woym yanked out of him, presumably.
Mm-hmm. They yanked the Woym out of him.
This is helpful because this was confusing to me and it's starting to make more sense.
I think that's why I made this.
So Torias dies, they put the Wime into
put the Wime into
Jabroni Jones.
Jabroni Jones.
Into that Jabroni Jones.
And they do that on purpose because they're like, yeah, he's the next one in line. He's going to be fine. He's ticking along. And then his rage gets to him. And even though he's maybe because he's joined and has developed new confidence, his narcissistic psychopathic tendencies are overwhelming the other personalities, but the other personalities are giving him some sort of confidence. And that makes him decide to murder the doctor.
Yeah, so part of my question was, why did Geron wait 6 months after he had been joined to kill the doctor that recommended he not be joined in the first place?
Perhaps opportunity. Perhaps it took him that long to build up the courage to do it.
Real quick, I remember all these points that Sisko...
all these wine points
that Sisko was like making at the end. It was like a little hard to keep track of the like timeline of all this shit, which is kind of why I made this summary here that turned into a weird list. Yeah, okay, here's the next one, number 9. Records say that when Tarius died, Dax was put into Curzon. When Tarius died...
Dax
that was put the previous belief.
But Sisko thinks that Dax was put into Geron first, which is 6 months prior to when the doctor was killed by Geron. But they also said that Tarius and Geron died the same day.
That's the lie, I think. That's where the main
or is it that
is.
Was what the records said to cover it up.
Gerondas, exactly. Blondas, flondas.
They adjusted the date of death of one or both of them in order to make it make more sense.
That is what you've been trying to cover up all along, isn't it?
It was some Geroni baloney.
Yeah, so right. Told him to join. How would make you? Know, yeah, it was kind of confusing how all this worked. And then number 10, 86 years ago, the Symbiosis Commission accidentally gave the Dax symbiont to Geron. So it was like, did they just fuck up? Like that?
I don't think it was quote unquote accidentally. I think the and again, this is a unclear.
Or was there like bureaucratic miscommunication? They didn't realize he wasn't supposed to be joined with them, or did he like do a switcher? Did he do a switcheroo? Like he switched his Wime with another Wime or something?
There's a hint, but only the barest hint that he was selected because of his social status, because he has a doctor saying he shouldn't be selected.
I see.
But then for some reason it's overridden and he is selected and he gets to have the symbiote for a while, but counter to prior assertions by the symbiote council or whatever.
Symbiosis commission.
Even though he was unsuitable from a psychological perspective, again, a little bit nebulous about what unsuitable means.
It means you're going to kill somebody.
Yeah, he did not get rejected immediately and instead was fully incorporated and working just fine while at the same time being a psychopathic lunatic.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was stupid for him to fucking shank that old dude in the fucking neck because he would have been fine. He would have just got to be fine. He could go compose his music.
They made him do it.
How do you know that unless you try?
I did like the cranky worms that were floating around. Oh, yeah. Just before I forget, you know, because they were all like that guy.
You don't want him to be cranky.
That guardian
guy. Be very demanding. They get very cranky if everything's not perfect.
Cranky boy.
It's the guy, you know, this is the guy who like works at the cat cafe and like really loves his job.
I was made a little uncomfortable.
Send the suit
reason,
back.
I was a little uncomfortable when he led Dax away by her hand. I don't know why that made me feel like I'm immature, but something about that made me uncomfortable.
I agree. It goes to your previous point about the sort of infantilization of Dax in a few parts of this episode, which in some cases work thematically. That scene, maybe, I don't know.
Okay, so there's only a couple more of these. Actually, a few. Okay, supposedly 1 in 1,000 are suitable.
Yeah.
A thousand.
But that's what they're telling.
That's a lie.
But supposedly a bad match is supposed to be rejected.
You're saying supposedly
supposedly
on purpose because you did it twice now.
Supposedly.
I didn't mention it the first time, but because you did it again.
So what? Supposedly?
Supposedly.
Okay. Is this some sort of you're known for your clever setups? Are you trapping us into some sort of a verbal thing?
I think
that's what he's always doing.
What do you say?
Supposedly.
That's what I said.
Oh no! Are we playing a game of supposedly or supposedly?
I don't know what you're talking about.
All right. Can please continue.
What do you say?
Supposedly.
That's what I said. Supposedly.
Okay. All right. Excellent. This list is great. Let's hear the next item.
Weird people. supposedly a bad match is supposed to be rejected in 3 to 4 days.
Supposed to be.
Yeah.
Duran was in there for 6 months, so that's how they figured out that that 1 in 1,000, it's more than that.
Yeah.
So number 12, I think we already kind of talked about this. So how is Duran able to be joined? How did he trick the Symbiosis Commission? Why did he wait 6 months? We already kind of talked that. Yeah. And how did Duran die? Do we know how Duran died?
Well, they...
they killed him.
They overwhelmed
him. They took the worm out of him.
They took the worm?
I think that's...
was it capital punishment?
No, no. The thing I'm the surest of, even though it is not explicitly stated...
they removed the worm.
But I'm...
they removed the worm.
It's the only thing that makes sense in the context is... he died because when you get the worm yanked out of you...
the worm, you get the worm...
the host will die. Like, that's not a lie. That's true.
That's not a lie. You
the
die.
Worm, the worm comes out if and then
the,
you
once,
die.
Once the
you
worm...
get, you get the goo wormed out of you. That's not a lie. You die.
Once the worm is thoroughly incorporated.
The worms crawl in.
Decorporated.
Worms crawl out.
No, once it's thoroughly incorporated.
Excorporated.
Like if you're a Riker and you have the worm in your belly for just a couple days, no big deal. But once it's integrated, once it leaves...
why Riker?
Because we're the first time we see the Trill is with Riker. Riker temporarily hosts the Trill.
Okay,
and he has sex with Beverly, and it's very uncomfortable.
Oh, yeah, it began with weird. That was began as a weird plot thing.
And there's a lot of consent stuff that's not properly explored in that TNG episode. But...
let's not...
okay, but, yes... did you make your point?
There's no worry about it.
I'm fairly sure.
Okay, somewhere in there.
It's out there.
Okay, last one. From the experience with Duran, they learned over half their population can be joined. So how did they originally come up with the 1 in 1,000 number?
It's just a lie.
I know it's a lie, but I'm like, where did they, like, they just pulled it out of a hat?
Well,
it's based on the number of symbiotes.
Yeah, right.
Because that's what she said was the problem. She said the problem, the reason they came up with this...
so, but I'm saying if mathematically it just happened to work out to be 1 in 1,000?
No, I think the implication is that's how many symbiotes they had have versus their population.
Yes, they took a ratio.
Yeah, so whatever that was, they're like...
and that's what I'm saying is like, and it's like 1 in 1,000, it's... why isn't it like... why isn't it more like 1 in 3,251? Like, it's 1 in 1,000. It just seems like too much of a round number.
Yes, maybe it's 1 in 999. I don't know. But, like, the point is it makes perfect sense for them to associate to some rough degree.
Yeah, I know. Some rough degree.
So,
but
that
I just,
so that it's plausible when the population is like, this many people are joined?
I think it would have been more plausible if they said 1 in 2,500. That would be more plausible to me.
Like... what's the deal with these symbionts? Like,
what's
like,
the deal?
Like,
with
how did they come into being?
And I don't.
Jesse's got his tight five already.
Yeah, right.
Hey, audience at home, Jesse's standing in front of a brick wall.
And what's the deal with these symbionts?
What's going on? What's going on with these symbionts?
Are they worms? Are they people?
Anyway, we gotta finish this fucking podcast.
Oh yeah, the whole premise is that like the reason that Jadzia Dax was gonna die was because of the memories made both the symbiont and the host too sad. Mm-hmm. Basically, they were just so sad that they were gonna die.
Yeah.
Basically, because their borophil levels were gonna get
it
really
was
low.
Totally untrilled.
Yeah, it's just like I wasn't quite buying the reason that they were like suddenly
just took it as
it was so traumatic they were gonna die.
Yeah, but more specifically the disconnect between the memories and the violence and the not integrated. I don't know. It's some almost metaphysical nonsense.
Okay,
it's the same shit you deal with the Vulcans all the time.
I want to mention that in the future in Star Trek they don't have the internet, but they do have like an app that works like Shazam because they were able to take that tune
after a couple of days.
Exactly right. Yeah, it took them a few days, but eventually they get it. It takes a couple
Duran
of days
Balan.
To search the database.
Hilarious.
I know. It took days to get it.
Jabroni
Baloney. Jabroni Baloney.
Jabroni Baloney.
Let's close things down. Fun episode. Yeah, not like the best. I don't know.
How'd she fall asleep so quickly?
I wasn't mad at watching this episode. I enjoyed it.
Yeah,
okay, next week.
It's weird when she called him a dear man.
Next week, we're going to go down Enterprise way. Okay, Dan's car 54ing it over here, so we'll allow him to make this point, and then we'll tell you which Enterprise episode we'll be watching.
I just want to say that at the end, when they showed the shot of DS9, and they show this shot several times, but for whatever reason, this episode,
show this shot.
All I could think about is how I wanted to have like a condo at the very bottom of it that had like a window floor, like a glass floor, so I could look
like a glass
out
bottom
in,
boat.
So I could look out into the infinity of space, like live there. Wouldn't that be awesome if you lived down there and had a glass glass floor and you could just look down, which is not looking down, it's just looking, but like below you see like space everywhere.
Would you stand on the glass?
Would you?
It would be transparent.
It would be it would be future like
transparent steel.
It would be future steel. Would you rather have that, or would you rather like live on like a penthouse of like the tallest building in the world or something? With the Burj Khalifa?
I think I like
is that
the
tallest building still?
It might be.
Is that how you pronounce it? Burj Khalifa?
Yes.
Okay.
I like the Deep Space Nine better.
Deep Space Nine better.
All right, that's concluded. And so
I just wanted to say
this...
that, like, I love. I couldn't stop thinking about it, and I just wanted to share with all of you how right, giddy it made me feel.
Duly shared.
I want that condo. Someone get it for me.
So that was.
How do you know that's a condo down there?
Probably just some dumb engine.
Next week, Enterprise.
There's a lot of water on Trill. Did you see the establishing shot of the Trill? It was a lot of water.
Lots everywhere. Of water.
Water everywhere.
Next week we'll be discussing.
Yes, Dan. Lots of water.
We'll be discussing Enterprises.
No.
Quiet.
Daedalus. We got a bunch of snakes.
Daedalus.
Dead or alive.
Daedalus.
Season 4, episode 10.
Dead or alive. Daedalus. Dead or alive.
I'm not looking that forward to it. I don't know. My recollection is that this episode kind of sucks.
Let's not watch it.
But we got to watch it because Dan's algorithm picked it. Yeah. And so ruefully or otherwise, hopefully it's more entertaining than I remember. So anyway, go watch Daedalus. Join us in whatever.
If you want to know who you are. It's important to know who you've been.
I like that quote. That's another thing I liked about this episode. I don't know if I agree with that quote, but I liked it.
Yeah, some of the quotes in Star Trek
sounded nice.
Sound cool, but you never know.
Yeah. All right. Really so mean. If you want to comment or send us questions, feedback at discussstartrek.com.
You can like and subscribe.
Go to the website.
Or you can fuck right off.
It's been a while since I've reminded folks that you can sort our podcast episodes by series or topic.
Can't.
That's the best.
Or won't.
There's a menu on the website that lets you do that. So if you only
want
to
drop
check
down?
Out,
if
check
you want
out
Voyager?
Our Voyager.
Is it a
episodes,
modal?
Deep Space
is it a
Nine,
modal?
Enterprise, whatever. You can do that. So go check that out at itsgotstartrek.com.
And you can talk in the way.
Patreon.com/itsgotstartrek. Some fun
anybody
stuff over there. Social
voice.
Media at
Johnson.
It's Got Star Trek. And
Dr. Bashir.
Subscribe to us on YouTube. You won't see any videos of us, but you can get a static image with the audio podcast. And even if you don't listen to us there, subscribe. That's going to be helpful down the line. We've got some fun ideas, but we need to get some more subscribers before we can implement those ideas. So,
do you know that unless you try?
Good. All right. That's the back matter. That's been It's Got
Not
Star
the front
Trek.
Matter.
Equilibrium done. Daedalus next week. Sayonara.
Sayonara.
Good night, old man.
What are we having? It smells delicious.
Black and red fish with cream spinach and sauteed beets.
Beets. You don't like beets, Doctor?
Well, they're not exactly a personal favorite of mine. No.
That's because you haven't had them prepared properly. Beets are a very misunderstood vegetable.
Well, I look forward to understanding it better.
Come in.
Oh, what a day. I just spent 6 hours in one of the upper pylons trying to get the new sensor relay online.
Help yourself to something. Dinner will be ready in a few minutes.
Great. I've been looking forward to this all day.
I hope you like beets.
I love them.